can do this with my eyes closed. It's too easy. It's too easy. I can do this with my eyes closed. It's too easy. It's too easy. I've been there, done it, seen it.
I saw that.
Boy, all that like Kenan.
I did that.
Still got crack, they fiendin'. Flow still hot like Phoenix. Shine so bright, I'm gleaming. This off top, I'm tweaking. Fresh out the rat like Nina. And I'm still trying to fight my demons. Cause we all got a hike like Tina. That's why I gotta ride with the Nina. Outside, it's a war going on. Made me put my hands on my head like a Macarena. They want you walking on board like Kima. Ain't give a F to you like John Cena. Putting blood on the brand new Beamer. Trying to earn they stripes like Adidas. You get cold when you ride with the heater. It'll turn you to a dog like a keto. And expose to a cat like a cheetah. They smoke my partner like reef. Dímelo porque o no entiendo, mi gente must really need Jesus. He said real blood, I never seen a crypt and I believe it. It's too easy. Too easy. I can do this with my eyes closed. It's too easy. Too easy. I can do this with my eyes closed. It's too easy.
Welcome in. Happy, what is it, Tuesday? Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hopefully you guys had a good weekend. Apologies for the no stream yesterday. I had some real life stuff I had to take care of. Stephanie, what's up? And then we had some meetings on the back end here at Bet Karma. So it was a very busy day for me. Did not have time for the stream. But we are back live today. It's Tuesday. We've got a lot to talk about. A lot went on over the weekend. Monday, obviously. Yesterday, there was MLB, NBA playoffs going on as well. And then we've got the same thing tonight. We also have some announcements to make for the stream. So here's announcement number one. As of now, tomorrow obviously is May 1st. So new month. So my plan for the month of May, we will be doing Saturday streams. So I'm going to be streaming all week, Monday through Friday, and then also Saturday. I would also do Sunday, but the problem with Sunday is MLB starts at 1 o'clock usually, and there are some later afternoon games, but the bulk of the baseball slate starts at like 1:30 on Sunday. So we're not going to do Sundays, but I'm going to be doing Saturday streams. So hopefully you guys are able to tune in for those. It'll be the same time, 3 o'clock, but as of now, tentatively for the month of May, planning on doing some Saturday streams as well. And then also, if you guys follow our TikTok at Bet Karma, go on TikTok, go follow. I think we have like 1,000 followers or so over there. I'm going to work on doing some live streams on TikTok only. So obviously, nothing's changing with this show. Monday through Friday, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook, all that stuff. Wherever this stream at 3 o'clock goes, that's going to be the same. And we're going to be doing that Saturday as well. But I'm going to be doing potentially some TikTok streams only, and they're going to be probably at nighttime. So probably during maybe some of these NBA games, the playoffs, as we progress through that late at night, you know, when those games start, maybe we can cook up like a parlay, and I'm going to go live on TikTok while we're watching the playoff game. And then hopefully maybe we can do some of that for NFL as well when that comes. Maybe during the primetime games, I can go live on TikTok during those as well. So that's something I'm working on. But for sure, during the month of May, we're going to do some Saturday streams same time. Mike, we did speak it into existence. The Eagles had a great draft. I'm really happy with their draft. Duan, what's up? Yeah, I'm super stoked. I think there's a couple teams, Philly, Pittsburgh. I think Baltimore had a good draft. Philly and Pittsburgh had really good drafts. I think Baltimore's was good. I kind of liked Washington's. They got a lot of just players I think are good, and they needed it because they don't have many good players. Yeah, Arizona had a nice draft as well. I like the Chargers, I think, had a good draft. You guys know I'm a big fan of Ladd McConkey. And, yeah, True Love, you just asked Joe Alt. No, Joe Alt was a great pick. Best lineman in the class. Cannot go wrong with it. You have to protect Justin Herbert, obviously. So Yeah, I think Philly, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Washington, Arizona, Los Angeles Chargers, those all stick out to me as having really good drafts. All right, so today, obviously, we're going to be talking MLB. We're going to be talking NBA. To recap NBA, the series bets card looking pretty good for us. We already hit a 4-unit, so we profited about a little over two units on that specifically. It paid out 6 units, so we already got a good amount of money back. And then we've got the Knicks tonight, who are up 3-1 at home in the Garden. Should be a closeout there, so that should be another unit. We've got the Pacers, who are likely going to face, obviously, the Bucks without Damian Lillard, without Giannis Antetokounmpo. They are 4-point favorites. It's on the road, but they're up 3-1. So, you know, that should be another unit there. And then the Mavs Clippers, I'm not sure. Worst case scenario, we go 3-1 on the card. But I still think Mavericks are going to win the series. It's just more difficult when it's 2-2 and like they're going back to LA. So, you know, that's a whole other conversation. But regardless, it's looking like worst case scenario 3-1, which is very good because that's a, you know, around a four unit profit. So, and we will be running those back. We will be doing some series bets for round two as well. So more to come there. Yeah, I definitely think Knicks close out as well. The one. Vegas, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I guess if they want to go with, you know, they have Aiden O'Connell, they have a couple other guys that I think they're considering. So I don't really know what their plan is as of now. But yeah, they did not draft a quarterback. Indy will close out. Yeah, I agree. Just really tough for the Bucks. Scary time to be a Bucks fan. I mean, Giannis, I know they're saying it's a calf injury for Giannis, but I actually think they're really worried about his Achilles because they were worried about it like a month ago, and then he hasn't played at all. So I think they're worried about Giannis' Achilles, and then Damian Lillard, they're worried about his Achilles. So scary time to be a Bucks fan. Your best two players both have Achilles scares. Like, that's not a good spot to be in. So unfortunate time for the Bucks. Do you think Embiid should have been suspended? I don't know if he should have been suspended, but he definitely should have got ejected from that game. I think that was a dirty play. I know Thibodeau came out and said he didn't think it was dirty. I think he was just being, you know, nice. There were other players that came out and said they thought it was dirty. I kind of think that was a dirty play. So I think he should have got ejected from that game. I don't know if he should have been suspended. I'm not one to suspend people in the middle of playoff runs unless it's like really out of control. So I'm not sure if he should have got suspended, but he should have got ejected from that game. I don't even know if he's going to play tonight. I saw he wasn't at shoot around. So I don't know. Maybe like they're down 3-1 and they're like, we'll just rest him. I don't know. I mean, hats off to him, though. I mean, he's been playing through a serious knee injury. Obviously, the Bell's palsy with his face, like, that's a whole other issue. But, like, I mean, we can't question Embiid's toughness at this point because he's been doing everything he can injured. But he's always kind of been, like, dirty. I don't know if it's necessarily dirty. Like, I wouldn't call him a dirty player, but he always does stuff like that. So I think that's kind of to be expected with him. Definitely should have got removed from that game, though. I don't know if you guys have been following college basketball. Tons of stuff going on with the portal. I obviously do my best to stay up on that, considering we will be betting college basketball come that time. Definitely a dirty player. Yeah, I mean, it's tough. Like, I don't know. I'm not in the games, but there's been several times in his career, Pete, I do agree, like, he's done stuff like that. So I guess it's hard to argue that he's not a dirty player, to be honest. Like, he's definitely done quite a few things like that. Lots going on in the portal, though, which I've kept up on. Obviously, we won't be talking about that for quite some time here on the stream. It's only, you know, the season just ended, but it's interesting to keep up with that. We've got college football stuff going on as well. coming up soon. We're getting to that point. April. I mean, another month. We'll be in June, and it'll be wheels up. I mean, we'll be prepping college football. We'll be prepping NFL. Like, we really just have to get through this month of May with the end of the, you know, the playoffs and MLB. And then, you know, it's going to be full-on football prep once we hit June, which I'm excited for. Harden looked like old Harden Sunday. Yeah. Man, I really wanted Dallas to win that game. They came all the way back and then just couldn't do it at the end. I still – Dallas's role players still have struggled. I know there's been times where, like, P.J. Washington will hit shots. He hit a couple big ones at the end of game three. But for the most part, their role players have been no-shows, man. I mean, they're just – entirely relying on Luka and Kyrie. Luka's banged up. Like, some of these role players have to step up. And they don't have to score 20 points, right? I'm not asking those guys to be Michael Porter Jr. and go get you 25, but they've got to knock down some open threes or something. The Cavs have dealt with this too. The Cavs, what is up with the Cavs? I mean, everyone that watched the stream know I picked the Magic over the Cavs in this series, so I'm not surprised that it's 2-2. But the where is the adjustments from JB Bickerstaff when it comes to the Cavs? Where's, first of all, the role players need to step up, but where are the adjustments from JB Bickerstaff? When the Magic started double-teaming Donovan Mitchell, what does that mean? That means there's someone open on the floor. They're not shooting threes. They're not taking and shooting threes. They're not making them. They need to step up and make shots. I don't understand why JB Bickerstaff has not tried different lineups. He hasn't tried more guys off the bench to shoot threes, particularly Sam Merrill. Max Strus and George Niang are not making three-pointers right now. I understand you paid them a lot of money to make threes, but at the moment, they're not making threes. So I would try Sam Merrill more maybe early in a game, see if he can knock one or two down and get hot. I don't know. He needs to make some adjustments when it comes to the lineup. He needs to try different things, and they need to, A, shoot more threes and make more threes. The Cavs role players need to step up tonight if they want to win this game. I think Spider's hurt too, but that's also just not an excuse because they need to be – they're double teaming him a lot, and he needs to find the open man, and they need to shoot threes when that happens. Cavs versus Orlando, Boston versus Heat are boring. Agree. I think that so whoever wins the Cavs Magic, I didn't think had any chance against Boston, but if Kristaps Porzingis is going to be hurt, I haven't seen an updated like report on that. If he's in jeopardy of missing some time, I don't want to say like the Celtics would still be significant favorites, but you know, maybe that door's open a little bit when I didn't think it was open whatsoever. I thought it was firmly closed. But if Porzingis is going to miss some time, I do think maybe the door's open a little bit. I think Minnesota's going to win the title, and I'm trying not to have recency bias because of how good they just looked against the Suns, but I'm going to be putting a future in on Minnesota. I'm going to be putting in a future on Minnesota parlayed with something. I think as of right now, if you put a gun to my head, I would pick Minnesota to win the title. They have played so good. Anthony Edwards, look, last year, you can go check this. I tweeted last year that if just my rankings of just clutch guys that just have that dog in them, I had Anthony Edwards number one last year. He's taken an even bigger step forward. I mean, this guy, I don't know if there's anyone that a team would draft. You did a redraft. I don't know if anyone would get picked before him. I think it's probably like between him and Wemby, Jokic, Luka, like that's probably the conversation if you were doing a league-wide redraft, but I don't know if anybody would get picked over him, to be honest. He has stepped up defensively, offensively. He's firmly in command of this team. He's definitely like he's kind of gone 06 Dwayne Wade a little bit to where when the Heat made a run and won that title, like I could see Minnesota doing it. And Denver, as much as I love them, as much as I love Nikola Jokic, this Denver team has not played like the Denver Nuggets. They were playing with their food a little too much against the Lakers, and it almost burned them a couple times. They can't play that way against Minnesota. They can't play, you know, sit back. We don't care if we're down 10, 15 points. We'll come back and win. They cannot do that against the Timberwolves. You can get away with it against the Lakers because the Lakers just aren't that good of a team as a whole, and they're not equipped really to beat the Denver Nuggets. But the Minnesota Timberwolves are equipped to beat the Denver Nuggets. They can't play like that. So I don't know. This could be a 2006 Miami Heat situation, and the Timberwolves are just going to run through and win this title. So I'm going to be putting a future in on the Wolves. I'm going to be parlaying it with something. I didn't post that in the Discord yet, but I will after this. Yeah, Timberwolves. That's my pick right now to win the title. I agree. He should start for the Olympic team. Completely agree. All right, let's dive in to today's baseball slate. There's a lot of games. I don't think I'll go through every single game. I'm going to go through some of the spots that stick out to me. And then we'll talk NBA as well. All right. So first and foremost, we have a game starting in 20 minutes, Cardinals-Tigers. It's the first game of a doubleheader. And we have Jack Flaherty going up against Kyle Gibson. So Jack Flaherty is a revenge narrative, revenge game against his former team. Don't think things ended super great between Jack Flaherty and the Cardinals. So he should be motivated here to have a good start. And he's pitched very well for Detroit. If we look at the advanced numbers between these two pitchers this season, Jack Flaherty due for positive regression. Kyle Gibson's been pretty bad. So Jack Flaherty this year has a 4.91 ERA, just a 3.55 expected ERA. So he's still a run and a half lower on that expected ERA. He's not walking a lot of batters, which I like. He's getting a ton of strikeouts, which we discussed in one of his last starts. He has the highest strikeout rate of his career since 2019. So he's been very, very good in that aspect. And he looks closer back to the young Jack Flaherty when he was up and coming with the St. Louis Cardinals. I've noted he's getting a ton of whiffs on his slider, which has been very, very important to his success, and also on his knuckle curve. Both those pitches are getting over 40% whiffs, and I think he can have success, you know, against this Cardinals lineup. I mean, if you look at Flaherty as a whole, he's really good against right-handed hitters. Trying to pull his numbers up for his career. This season, it's been a little bit like reverse splitsy. He's given up more power to the right side than the left. But if we look at the Cardinals lineup against sliders, they have pretty bad numbers. 29% strikeout rate against sliders, 280 WOBA, which is pretty bad. Only a 146 ISO. So the lineup as a whole does not hit sliders very well, which is important. So we cashed Flaherty in his last start, the over 5.5 strikeouts. It was sweaty because he gave up some runs, but we did hit that. I think this is another spot where you could look to go back to his strikeouts just because of how bad this team is against sliders. And I mean, if you look, the numbers at 5.5 again, it's actually juiced towards the under. It's -118 under 5.5. You can get -106 on the over. So this might be a spot where I haven't bet it, but I think you could certainly go back to a Flaherty over 5.5 Ks given the numbers that I'm seeing from the Cardinals against sliders. And I like the Tigers first five in this game. Flaherty, like I said, I've liked what I've seen from him this year. On the opposite side, Kyle Gibson, he has a 4.36 ERA, but a 6.02 expected ERA. So he's due for some negative regression here. He's given up a 44% hard hit rate. And he throws a lot of sinkers. If we look at the Tigers against sinkers, drastic difference of the Cardinals against sliders versus the Tigers versus sinkers. So we're looking at the most used pitch from Gibson here. Sinker, Tigers, 3.72 WOBA, Only a 14% strikeout rate. They don't have a ton of power, but they don't have a ton of power in general. But that 372 wOBA definitely sticks out. Riley Green, Perez, Kerry Carpenter, McKinstry, Carson Kelly, Spencer Torkelson. All those guys have really good numbers against sinkers. So I like the Tigers first five. I will be betting that. And I also think you can look to Flaherty over 5.5 Ks. In the next game, we have the Yankees and Orioles. Dean Kremer against Nestor Cortez. I like the Yankees here. I think you can bet Yankees first five. I think you can bet them for the full game. I'm not a Nestor Cortez guy. At the end of the day, I just don't love him. But he's pitched very well this year. His ERA is 350. His expected ERA is 250. So still a run less there. Not walking a lot of batters. He's not getting those strikeout numbers that we saw from him around COVID time when he was getting 27%, 26% strikeout rates. But he's pitched effectively. And I think that on the opposite side of that, Dean Kremer, we've bet on him off and on in his career. This season in particular hasn't been very good. If we look at him 2 years ago, he had a 446 expected ERA. Last year it was 4.9. This year it's up to 5.4. He's given up, you know, a 562 expected slugging percentage is towards the bottom of the league. Just not very good overall as a whole from Dean Kremer. So I think there's a definite advantage in terms of the pitching matchup towards the Yankees, which is why I think you can bet them first five. But overall, I just like the Yankees in this game. So sign me up for the Yankees today. I like them. In this Rockies-Marlins game, I lean to the first five under, but I haven't bet this. So we talked about we talked about Ryan Feltner in his last start, but this is a guy that has pedigree and has pitched really well this year. So 568 ERA does not tell the full story. He's down to a 335 expected ERA. He's getting 26% strikeouts. Like overall, like the underlying numbers look really good for Ryan Feltner, and I'm not scared of this Miami Marlins offense. And then on the opposite side of that, if you look at Sixto Sanchez, like we were a little bit concerned about the lack of velocity from him and how he was going to look coming back from all those years missed of injury. Didn't pitch for the big league team in 4 years, but a 4.43 expected ERA compared to that 7.2 actual ERA shows that, you know, he's been getting a little bit unlucky. He's not getting anywhere near the strikeout numbers we're accustomed to. He's only struck out 13% of batters. But in terms of the run limitation stuff, I think he's been pretty good. So, I'm not scared of the Rockies lineup. I mean, the Colorado Rockies are absolutely horrible. So, first five under would be my lean in this game. Or you could look to the full game under, but I just don't love messing with the bullpens when we're talking about these bad teams. So, first five under is my lean. Haven't bet it, but I think we can buy into both these pitchers here. Especially Feltner. If you wanted to just take a stab on the Rockies for the money line, I think you could do that as well. Royals, Blue Jays, nothing stuck out here. We hit the over first five in this game yesterday. That was pretty easy. Hit it in like three innings, and there was four runs scored in the first inning, so that was pretty good, but nothing really stuck out here. Next game I want to talk about is the Twins and White Sox. You can see here, 55% of the bets are on the over, but 87% of the money. Big money coming in on the over here, and I agree with it. First and foremost, you have Mike Soroka going for the White Sox, who's been just dreadful. We've talked about him a few times on stream. Like, he was once an up-and-coming pitcher for the Braves, dealt with a lot of injuries, and he's been horrible this year. 7.22 expected ERA. He's only struck out 9.8% of batters, which is one of the worst marks in all of baseball for someone that consistently gets starts. A 4.11 xWOBA allowed is pretty horrible. Expecting batting average allowed of 3.21. Like, the guy has just been absolutely terrible. So the Twins are obviously in a good spot here offensively. And then on the flip side, we have Woods Richardson starting for the Twins. It's going to be his second start. He gave up some runs in that first start of his, but it was kind of some fluky stuff. But I'm hesitant to bet on these young pitchers, right? We've talked about that a few times. So I think the White Sox could get us one or two runs here in the first five. And the Twins might cover this number on their own for the first six or seven innings. So I like full game over. I like first five over. I'm buying into the offensive production in this game, certainly given the pitching matchup. Brewers were a letdown for me last night. Don't want to bet on them today. They really let us down. We had them on the money line. They lost 1-0. I mean, come on. You couldn't give us a run at least. Guardians, Astros. Astros offense has started to pick up here. They went down to Mexico. They played in that Little League park at altitude, hit a bunch of home runs. I think it helped them wake up a little bit. They've been scoring some runs. And Carlos Carrasco, I've yet to figure out. His underlying numbers aren't terrible, but I'm just not quick to believe it given his age. So I don't know. I would lean towards the Astros in this one or the over, because Hunter Brown has the underlying stuff says he should be a little bit better than he is, but he's been getting beat around. So over, honestly, probably Cleveland Houston would be my preferred play there. The over 9 runs. Phillies are my lean in this game. Spencer Turnbull, we've bet on him quite a bit this year. Him and Ranger Suarez, we've just been betting on every time they start. So you could talk me into the Phillies tonight. You could talk me into Phillies first five. Don't hate that. Fun pitching matchup here for the Braves and the Mariners. We have Ronaldo Lopez going up against Luis Castillo. Total's only 7 runs, so I'm really not going to be attacking that, but just a fun pitching matchup if you want to watch. And then Pirates A's. Pirates are slight favorites here at minus 135. It's Mitch Keller going up against Alex Wood. I'm still feeling out Mitch Keller. I don't know. The underlying stuff still doesn't look great to me, so I don't want to go out of my way to bet on him. Minus 135 is not a terrible price, so if you really want to bet the Pirates tonight, I get it, but I'm still on wait-and-see mode with Mitch Keller. Love Turnbull. Yeah, he's been very good. I hope that they keep him in the rotation. I know there's been some talk about when Taiwan Walker comes back, they want to take him out. I think Spencer Turnbull's pitched more than well enough to stay in the rotation. So hopefully they keep him in. That does it for the baseball slate, though. Overall, for me, like the Tigers in this first game, and I like Flaherty maybe over strikeouts. I like the Yankees tonight a lot, first five or full game. Lean the under in the Rockies-Marlins game. Lean over full game and first five in the Twins-White Sox game. Lean over in the Guardians-Astros game. Like the Phillies to win first five or full game there against the Angels. That about does it. NBA, not going to bet a side here. Just hoping we close out these series bets tonight. You know, that'd be a nice little 2 units we could get. So it's like we're starting the day plus 2 units, and then we'll see what happens with MLB. But not going to bet any sides here. I'm definitely going to dive into some props. And I might post a prop or two in the Discord. I'm going to do that after we get off the stream. Our NHL bet did not come through for us the other night, but it's still 8-2 dating back to last season. So I think they play tomorrow. We'll be back in. Yeah, they play tomorrow. So we'll be back in on the first period over 1.5 in that Edmonton game tomorrow. Ben, doesn't Judge usually bat really well at Camden? Yes, that is a thing. Let me see if I can pull up the exact numbers for you. That is a thing, though. You are correct. Let's see here. Aaron Judge at Camden Yards. Let's do career. All right. So for his career, Aaron Judge has... Okay, first let's do against the Orioles, and then we'll do it Camden. So for his career against the Baltimore Orioles, Aaron Judge is hitting .310, and he has 39 home runs. So for reference, that's like far and away the most home runs he has against any team. He's hit 39 against the Orioles. He's hit 35 against the Blue Jays. And there's nobody else even remotely close. 24 against the Red Sox. Yeah, 21 against the Rays. Like, obviously, it's going to be the division teams here because that's who you play the most. But yeah, 310 with 39 home runs. and 85 RBIs, 19 doubles against the Orioles in his career. Now let's do Camden yards. For his career, we'll just do reference here. Can I see? Okay, so for his career, obviously he's going to have a major sample size at Yankee Stadium because that's his home field. So for his career at home at Yankee Stadium, he's hitting 291 with 134 home runs. I mean, yeah, he's played 430 games there, but he's hitting 291 in Yankee Stadium for his career. For his career at Camden Yards, he's hitting 320 with 22 home runs and 44 RBIs. So 22 of his 39 total home runs against the Orioles have come at Camden Yards. Absolutely destroys the baseball at Camden. Yeah, sign me up for home run, Nathan. Definitely. Definitely. Maybe I'll bet Yankees team total over on top of it. Favorite MLB money line, probably the Yankees for me, Ryan, tonight. Two guys to get 30 points in basketball tonight. Let me see. Let me pull the odds up here. I think you could look at Maxi maybe for that. I think you could look at the Pacers Bucks. Maybe take a shot on Pascal Siakam for 30. I think Maxi will have a good game though with Embiid even more hobbled than usual. And he's played well all series, though, to like just in general. But all right, that about does it. Thank you guys for tuning in. If you missed the top of the stream, go back and rewatch. The announcements are I'm going to be doing some Saturday streams during the month of May. So we'll be live Monday through Friday, 3 o'clock. Saturday, same thing, 3 o'clock right here live. We'll be doing Saturday streams. And then I'm going to look into doing some TikTok live streams during the nighttime NBA playoff games. And then, you know, if it goes well, we can do it during NFL season, during the primetime games as well. So that'll be coming soon, but I will be live on Saturday, definitely this weekend, and hopefully for the month of May. But thank you guys for tuning in. Good luck with your wagers tonight. I'll be live tomorrow, same time, same place, 3 p.m. We will recap today and talk about tomorrow. So good luck tonight, and I'll see everyone on Wednesday.